We've been going through the Gospel of Mark, and we're at the point now we're ready for Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. And what I want us to consider this morning is how intentional Jesus is in this passage. And it reminds us that our God is an intentional God. Everything God does is according to His plan. And His plan was to have people that would belong to Him, that He could have fellowship with and love. You know, special above the angels, special above anything else of His creation. But He wants people who will want to be with Him. You know, so He gave us choice when He created Adam and Eve. And He gives us choice each and every day of our lives. But knowing, having choice, we would choose against God. We would sin, and we all struggle with that. God also intended, before He created anything, that He was going to pay for our sins. So that whoever wanted to be forgiven and wanted to be with God forever could choose Him, even though we do it imperfectly. And so God intentioned everything about creation. The far outreaches of space, even down to the minutest little molecule here on the face of the earth. He created it all and makes everything work, and He holds it all together. All so that we human beings can live on it and hopefully seek Him. God, as we know through the scriptures, has interacted with mankind, and ultimately when He sent His Son into this world. God intended, and He even told Adam and Eve, that He was going to provide a Savior. He warned His people through much of the Old Testament. The prophets foretold of the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah gave in detail the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus came, He came for the very intention of being born as one of us, God in spirit, but human in flesh, so that He could live a perfect life and then die as that perfect sacrifice for us. But it didn't end there. He was going to beat death from the inside out, thus giving us our hope of eternal life. And He rose again and ascended back to heaven, where He reigns now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, victorious over the grave, conquering Satan. And the day is coming when He comes again and takes us all home to be with Him. Those who belong to Him. That's His intention. And then we live forever in the perfect place God's preparing for us. God is intentional. And I think as we live our lives, we sometimes forget that. We look around our world, and yes, the world is all messed up. Evil is everywhere. But evil also influences us. And it influences Christians around the world, always has. And so we see Satan at work trying to get Christians to water down God's word. As if somehow God doesn't really mean what He says. And so people will have councils, and they'll have church groups, and even individuals will write books and give their opinion and their views. And they will gather a following after themselves, which the scriptures warn us about. All forgetting that God, everything He says in His word is intentional. He expects us to know Him and to obey Him. We read that in the very end of Matthew, the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Teach them to obey all I have commanded you." And yet, people will stray from that because somehow they seem to think they know better. But God is intentional, and He means what He says, and He expects us to take Him for what He says and to obey according to what He says. Yes, it's a learning process for us. As individuals, as we grow and mature. But that's the whole point. We're supposed to grow and mature and help the body of Christ to grow as the Spirit works through us. And that's Ephesians chapter 4, the first 16 verses. But in this passage, we see exemplified the intention of Jesus and how we respond. Mark 10, 32 reads, "They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Now, they're on the way to Jerusalem. You know, there's a price on Jesus' head, and he knows he's going there to die. But you notice in verse 32, it says, as they're on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus is leading the way. It's interesting that Mark says that specifically. Jesus is leading the way. He's not part of a group where, you know, some of them are in front of him and some of them are behind him. He's out front. He's leading the way. Jesus came in order to die for us. He came knowing what would happen to him. He came knowing what people would do to him. And yet he's leading the way to that destiny. Why? Because he loves you so much. He was willing from before the creation of the world to be able to face that for you and me and anyone else who will put their faith in him. He came leading the way. That's what Jesus always does, leads the way. How many times when he was talking to people did he say, "Come and follow me"? He never said, "Go ahead of me," or "Let me sit back and watch and see what you can do." He said, "Follow me." And that's what, as Christians, we are supposed to do. Follow Jesus no matter what. But you look at what it says here. Now, the NIV, which I just read, reads a little differently than the text is in the Greek. Actually, it says that they were all astonished and afraid. Okay? There was no differentiation between the disciples and others following. They were all astonished and afraid. The word for astonished means that they were astounded. They were astounded at what Jesus was doing. What is he thinking? He knows that they want to kill him. After he raised Lazarus from the dead a few months earlier, they've been out to kill him. And what's he doing? He's walking right into the lion's den. They're going to kill him. And I'm sure for many of them, they were a little afraid for themselves as well. In fact, in another gospel account, one of the disciples said, "Let's go with him and die with him." They were astounded, most of them, that he would even think about doing this. And you know what? Sometimes we are astounded by what God tells us. We read what he tells us to do, what he tells us to believe, how he tells us, what he tells us to do to respond to him. And we're like, why? That's crazy. Why should I have to do that? Why should I have to do it this way? Why should I have to believe this or that? And there were many people who asked the same question and then devised their own ideas, their own plans. But God always says, do what I tell you. Not what another person tells you, or not what a council tells you, or not what an author tells you. Do what I tell you. Even if you don't understand it, even if you're looking at it and you say, what? Just do it. Just do it. And it says they were afraid. Actually, the Greek word means they were alarmed. That's how serious this was. They were alarmed. We are going to be in danger. Jesus is going to be in danger. This is not a good scenario. Why is he doing this? This is scary. Where our lives are on the line, Jesus' life is on the line. And yet here he's going. And sometimes when we look at what God tells us in his word, we get afraid too. What will happen to me if I follow Jesus? What will happen to me if I choose to listen to men rather than God? What's going to happen to me if I do listen to God and other people don't like it? What's going to happen? And I'm afraid. And indeed, many Christians have cowered before the powers of Satan because they were afraid of what was going to happen to them. But what's fascinating to me is, as Jesus is leading the way, and they are astounded and they're alarmed, they're still following. They are still following. And that's what it means to be a Christian. It means to still follow Jesus. No matter how amazed we are at what he says in his word, no matter how afraid we may become because of what might happen to us, we still must follow him. Jesus leads the way and we follow. And when you think about it, Jesus said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. So becoming a Christian is a courageous thing. It's surrendering oneself to follow Jesus, to follow his word, to learn from him and do all that he has commanded us. And in that we have confidence. Because Jesus says here, as he shows the confidence, you know, bad things are going to happen to me. I'm going to be condemned to death. I'm going to be turned over to those hated Roman Gentiles that you all hate. They're going to mock me and spit on me and flog me and kill me. But I'm going to rise again. I'm going to win. That's the worst they can do to me because I'm more powerful than them, and I'm going to rise from the dead because I'm more powerful than Satan. And folks, that's the hope and the trust we hold on to. Jesus is greater than the worst that man can do to us. Jesus is greater than the worst that Satan can do to us. And that's why Satan is so subtle, so conniving. He says, do you really have to do it the way God tells you? Do you really have to do what the Bible says? Do you hear those words? Those are the same type of words that Satan whispered in Eve's ear. Do you really have to do it God's way? Well, yes, you do. Because God's intentional. God's intention is to seek and to save the lost and save into eternity. And he came intentionally to open the path, to open the way, and to say personally, intentionally, come, follow me. Everything he commands us is truth. Everything he's revealed to us in his word is for our good. There's nothing there that's bad that God calls us to do, to believe, to practice. Even if it costs our lives, so what? We're going to die. Every one of us. How many people here are over 200 years old? What? Nobody? Yeah. We're all going to die. So if we're going to die, I've often said, well, I'm going to die of something. It might be a disease. It might be an accident. It might just be old age. It might be who knows what. Or it might be at some point in the future, I must die because of Christ. But whatever brings about our death, if we hold on to Jesus, we trust his intentionality, we trust the word of God, then our eternity, our future is secure. We know where we're going. This past week, Rhonda and I went out to Illinois to see my parents and my siblings and the struggles that they're going through. Dad's in a nursing home and Mom should be, but is not yet. And all the hoops to jump through and all of that. But it reminded me, and as I was watching everyone come forward to take communion as I stood in the back, it reminded me the importance of knowing Jesus. Because it doesn't matter what we strive for in this life, if we live long enough, our elder years are not that great. And we don't know what we're going to be like. And money's not going to make much difference. There have been people who've had dementia who were very poor, and there have been famous people and wealthy people who end up with dementia. And there's no shame in that. It is what it is. It's part of aging. Many people get older and they're very alert and very bright but physically feeble, and others are the other way around. Many people never make it to old age. The point is, we live in this world in order to get to know God and to seek Him and to live with Him here and now so we can live with Him forever. Because that's what it's all about. It's about being able to be with God forever. The things we do in this world are basically incidental. In that, we live our lives, we do the best we can, we be responsible, we raise our children, we look after our parents as they get older and our kids look after us, and we do all those things that are important. But this life is only meant to be temporary. What we're supposed to be doing is getting to know God and laying up treasure in heaven, looking forward to His coming. Because that's God's intention. That's why sometimes in this life, you know, we think when bad things happen, well, why did God let me down? Well, God does not ever let us down. But He reminds us, this is not your home. I came and suffered and died and rose again to remind you that this is not where you belong. This is where you are temporarily, but I want you to belong forever with me. And so, yes, you're going to struggle in this life. As the reminder, this is not the goal. People work hard and save up for retirement so they can do marvelous things, and many people are blessed to be able to do that. Others not. But it all still comes to an end. And so Jesus is saying here, in essence, because I will rise, so will you if you keep following me. So we must not be too alarmed at the things God tells us. We should not be too alarmed by all the bad things we see happening around us or may even confront us. Being a little scared? Sure, it's human nature. But notice these people, the disciples and others who were following, were astonished and afraid, but they still followed. May that be true of each and every one of us. May we be willing to say, Lord, I will follow you. I thank you for your grace and mercy that even though I stumble along, my desire is to know you and to follow you, to obey all you've commanded. And while the teachings of men can be helpful, may I follow you instead of them when they vary from your word. Lord, you and you alone died for me. You and you alone rose again for me. And you alone lead me to eternity that you and you alone are making. Let us make that commitment to Him. If any here have not yet given your life to Christ, it's not too late, as long as there's breath, to say, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to be part of your plan that you intentionally put together and you're intentionally carrying out and you will intentionally bring to an end so that I can be in eternity with you forever. All it takes is repenting of our own sins before God and realizing, you know, I've been living without Him, or I've been following but only at a distance. Maybe I've been listening to others instead of really listening to God. Then confess our sins to Him. Lord, I'm a sinner and I need your grace, your forgiveness. Being buried with Him in immersion, which is the Greek word for baptize, to be immersed, the baptistry is always ready. And then begin walking and growing in Christ. If this has raised any questions and you want to get together and talk about it, it's not what I say that's important, it's what God's Word says. And so it's important for each person to make up their own mind intentionally to follow God's Word. And when we do that, the intentions of Jesus will be fulfilled. Right now, we're going to sing a song called Are You Washed in the Blood? That great old hymn. Verses 1 and 4, if you want to use the hymn book. But are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Only He can cleanse. You know, our world can try to be a better place. Our politicians can make all kinds of promises. But the only one that can change a human being's heart and life is Jesus. Let's stand together, shall we? And sing.